Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
G&D on the Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kondorian Murad. They are the exclusive sponsor of this show, and they want to square away your last will and testament and important stuff like a living trust, medical power of attorney. Go schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. Check them out, kmlawyers.com.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln in Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
To the Rude guest hotline we go. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jay Gruden is with us on Grant and Danny. Jay, what'd you think? An 8-point win, couple of late fumbles. Washington did what they could to keep the Giants in it, but they eventually got an 8-point win over the worst team in the NFL.
I don't know if they're the worst team. I just watched the Jets play. They're pretty bad.
Well, currently, the Giants have the number one.
They got pick one, baby.
So for the moment, yeah, they are the worst team in the NFL, I guess.
Yeah. It was a good win. They did what they had to do. You're right. You know, they ran the ball effectively. They ate up a lot of time of possession and made some plays. You know, the big plays at the end of the half were critical. The punt return and then getting the interception, getting another field goal before halftime. That gave them a nice, comfortable lead, and they coasted on to victory.
What do you make of Mikey Sanders still? They want him to be a nickel cornerback. It just doesn't seem like that's coming as natural to him. It seems like he makes more plays on the outside. Did they kind of solve their own puzzle there?
They might have. You know, I thought he was more suited for nickel myself when he first came to the team. He was playing inside. I thought he did a pretty good job. Then they had the injuries, I think, and then he went back outside and did a really good job out there, too. I think his home is probably outside now that Lattimore's hurt. And, pair him with Amos for the next couple of years might be a good deal.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. Jay, as far back as I can remember in this town in these lost seasons, we collectively, fan base, media, have wanted to see the young guys. I remember grilling Mike Shanahan in press conferences about getting December work for Terrence Austin and Anthony Armstrong and, you know, Perry Riley or whatever. And clearly that's just not the way football works for whatever reason. But what is that disconnect where they go out there and Bobby Wagner's still playing every snap in a game like yesterday? You know, and some of the young guys like Sinnott gets just the one target, or they don't turn things over to the kids, and the team is still in a mode where they feel like they've got to win the game, and their best shot is the veterans. Like, take us into the mindset in the building versus outside of it.
Yes, tough call, you know, because you do want to see the young kids play for the future, see if they're good enough to keep or see if you have to replace them in free agency or the draft. You know, it's kind of important, but they probably have a pretty good idea of what they've seen in practice all year in a preseason game, what they have in the young players, if they're not playing them. And it's just hard pill to stomach when you're talking to a veteran, say, hey, we're going to sit you this week because we want to look at the young kid who's clearly not as good as you, but we want to look at this young kid for next year. It just doesn't sit right with the team, doesn't sit right with the players, and it's not the right thing to do, in my opinion.
Could you do what I'm, and I understand that. That's kind of the way that the league is. Whether it should be or not, it is, right? Like, that's how the league is. We could, the example I brought up, Jay, was what about one series where Jordan McGee wears the green dot and Bobby Wagner's there on the sideline, and then he gets to play 90% of the snaps instead of 100? Like, is that just impossible? That's a bridge too far?
No, that's not a bridge too far at all. In fact, that probably should happen more often than not, especially on third down. Give him a package of plays on third down or whatever it might be, second and long, two-minute drill. Maybe he could do that. But, I don't know what the case is, because I think Jordan needs some reps, and we know Bobby's probably not going to be around much longer, so it would be a good call to get Jordan in there for a series or two. I agree with you on that one.
What happens if they go three and out? Now you got three reps of it. Now we're good?
I don't know.
That's all we needed?
We'll figure it out when we get there, but the idea that we can't do it at all just seems really, really hard to me.
It's not how the league works. Why is that, Jay?
Because you're trying to win the football game. You put your best players to win, and these guys work their ass off to get the opportunity to play. You know, they've earned the starting spot all season long, and they've kept it all season long. They've played through pain. They've played through injury, whatever it might be. They've busted their ass in practice, and then you're going to tell them, hey, we're going to sit you this week because we want to look at a young kid. It's not the right thing to do. It might be for the long term of the organization, but for the locker room and for the team trying to win that game on Sunday, not the right thing.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. All right, let's talk Bill. The funny thing about the argument that we've kind of been having is that they did get a bunch of contributions and won the game based on some of their kids, like Rodriguez, like Krosky Merritt, who filled in for Rodriguez, like Jalen Lane, like Mikey Sanristil. Let's talk Bill. 18 for 96 and a touchdown. What'd you see?
Yeah, I mean, he was good. He was efficient with his vision, and he had some good burst through the hole. A nice touchdown run on a inside zone. It opened up like a I don't know what it was, but I don't know where the nickel was. He just stood there and watched him run in for a touchdown. But, yeah, he was impressive. But I think he ran through tackles and didn't get brought down by the first guy very often. So it was a good day for him. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup and getting carries and not getting carries. I don't know what the disconnect is there, but he looked like a starting caliber running back yesterday.
Yeah. How do you feel about him generally? Is it, you know, kind of your style? Do you like the way he moves with the football, and would you try to get him the ball in the air more? What do you think his weaknesses are? Maybe why they don't seem to love him and want to commit to him?
Yeah, I don't know if he can catch. I don't know if that's the case or not. If he's a good route runner, if he's smart enough to handle protection, if he's a good pass protector, you know, that there's an art to that. And they see him every day in practice. I would love for him to be the off schedule back and have a power back. You know, Rodriguez and him switching would be good, but a bigger first second down back and bringing him in on third down. But if he's not a third down back, then he has to be the first second down back. Then you got to go out and get another change of pace guy or bigger guy or something to go with him. I don't think he's a 20 carry a guy game guy, even though he did it yesterday. One, I'd like to see him get like 8 to 10 and get somebody else about 10 to 15.
Jay Gruden with us on G&D. How about on the, at the receiving position yesterday, they ended up getting production out of Terry McLaurin, 51-yard grab. They hit on a couple of explosives down the field in the game. Now, what'd you see in the passing game structurally? Only 10 completions on 19 attempts.
Yeah, they didn't have to do a whole lot. When they did, they made them pay. You know, it's very important if you're going to run the ball effectively to try to hit a couple big plays, and they did that. They got Terry in a little bench post type thing, and a safety got out of position, and Marcus put a good throw out there. So, you know, it was an efficient day for the offense. They possessed the ball, they converted some third downs, and they had some big plays. So that's what you got to do on the road to win. And they attacked the Giants the right way. You know, you don't want to give those guys for New York Giants a lot of pass rush situational ball, and they didn't do that. The weakness of the Giant defense is running right at them, and that's where the effectiveness came from Washington.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Where are you at on Josh Connerly? A couple penalties yesterday. I know that people kind of point to those. The false starts bother me more than a hold, which is always kind of a coin toss thing to me when you're engaged with a speed rusher going around the edge or whatever. But where are you at on his rookie season and him as a prospect?
Yeah, prospect, maybe. Rookie season, not so good. I probably would grade him to worst right tackle in football, damn near close to it. He gives up a lot of pressure, gave up another sack, a couple more penalties like you mentioned. He just hasn't shown a lot of the toughness skill that you want out of your right tackle. He got good feet, but he just gets pushed back a lot. It bothers me, and it doesn't really look like he has a good feel for the stunts when they do stunts against him. So he's got a lot of work to do. He's got good feet. Like I said, he's a good prospect, but he's had a rough year, if that makes sense.
Jay, I'm surprised to hear you that down on Connerly. I mean, long-term, what is your outlook for him? And then also, if you could just expound upon that, I feel like the first month was brutal, and since then he's really been on a steady trajectory upwards, but go deeper into what you're seeing.
Yeah, well, Well, he's just had a tough year, man. I mean, he struggles in pass protection and gets powerful rushers and speed. And I mean, he's done some good things. Don't get me wrong. I just think as far as a starting right tackle, he's below average this year for the Washington team. I mean, there's a lot better right tackles out there that are bigger, stronger, especially in the running game and the double team blocks and all that good stuff that you have to do for a right tackle. You want your right tackle to be powerful. Most of those guys do the inside zone, the double teams on the three technique, all that good stuff. He's just not quite there yet. I think his body will develop. He'll get stronger in the weight room with Chad. And I think good things are in his future. He just had a rough year.
Is any of that kind of the, you know, doing the mirror image position switch kind of deal where he's on the right now? Is any of that because he's struggling with that 100%. Adjustment? What do you see there?
Yeah, it could be. That is a big adjustment. A lot of people think, just move over to the right side. It's totally different, pass sets and everything. He might be left-handed. I don't know. So that could be the issue, just adapting to that. And like I said, he's gone against some really good pass rushers and had some decent games. But over the course of the season, if you look at the PFF grade, I would imagine he's probably graded out one of the lowest tackles in the league.
So just real quick, one more on that. So you think his biggest priority is probably just getting stronger? And does that solve a lot of the ills, or is there a lot more to it?
He's a young kid, man. He's a big kid, young kid. He's got good feet. So, yeah, let's get him in the weight room and get a little bit stronger, see more things. He'll handle stunts better next year in his second year. He'll get to know pass rushers more so in the second year, what they like, what they don't like, you know, how to block them. So, you know, in his first year, a lot of things happen fast, man. It's the first time you're seeing some of these really good pass rushers in the NFL. Now you got a year under your belt. He'll be a lot better next year.
And to Jay's point, 60th of 83 tackles, and we could look up the right tackles specifically, but what your eyes are telling you checks out with some of the grading via PFF. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan, talking to Jay Gruden. Ben Sinnott, no Zach Ertz yesterday. This fan base has been clamoring to see more of a tight end that was taken just outside of the top 50. This is a second-round pick last year who can't get any looks in the passing game. But you've had Ertz, who's been productive. So, okay, now he's out. Finally, it's time. One target, one catch. It came at the end of the game. Catch and run of 36 yards. So it was a nice play. But I guess two-parter here. So let's start with the first one. Is it possible that Ben Sinnott is this, like, legitimate pass-catching weapon that 2 years into his career the team has just chosen not to use? Or does their lack of targets and involvement of him tell us that there's probably not a whole lot in the tank there?
Probably the latter, I would say. If he was this weapon, this great weapon, they would use him in some way, shape, or form to go along with Zach Ertz when he was healthy. Two tight end sets are good. Maybe it's his pass block. Maybe it's run blocking that isn't good enough and to warrant him getting out there in a pass game. I don't know. I don't know if he's that big of a threat in the pass game to make up for his lack of run blocking ability, which could be the case. So I don't know. I think I would like to see him more. They only threw the ball 19 times, though, yesterday. And so hopefully in the last three games there, they'll get him some targets so they see what they have with him. You know, so they see him every day in practice. You would think that if he was some kind of monster weapon, they would have got him the ball on the screen or something, a jet sweep, something, you know, like the Colts use Tyler Warren and some of the other teams use their tight ends, but hasn't been done yet. I'm anxious to see it myself.
So is what I want reasonable then, or is it just kind of a silly outsider take? What you kind of just alluded to is what I've been pleading for. Give me a tight end screen. Let's design something for him. Like, I can't believe, and I know it was only 19 attempts and 10 completions yesterday, but they didn't call one play to just see. Like, this is the Ben Sinnott play. Let's go see what the kid does here on this tight end screen or whatever. Is it that crazy to want to see that? Is that not how it works? I know it's not a preseason game in August, but I kind of wanted to use yesterday that way. Like, I got three plays in the playbook for him. All right, we didn't get to all three because we only threw it 19 times, but we damn sure can get to one at some point if it's a priority. Is that just an unreasonable ask or not how it works?
No, that's not unreasonable at all, unless he's just been a total dud in practice and hasn't warranted the opportunity to get a catch. You know, maybe he hasn't deserved it. I don't know. I would like to see it, too. I mean, second-round pick, I mean, for sure, you got to give him some looks in the passing game to see what he does on game day. You know what I mean? Breaking tackles, running through arm tackles, whatever it might be. You see what kind of hands he has in traffic because he plucked it. You know, maybe he'll play better in a game than he does in practice. I don't know, but we got to see that. I mean, I agree with you 100% on Ben. They should get him some looks in the last three games. I would certainly hope so.
Well, did you ever have a guy, Jay, in your coaching career, whether it was here or as an OC or anywhere else, that maybe wasn't that awesome in practice, but when he finally got a shot in the game, said, you know what, actually, maybe this guy can play a little bit? Have you ever been pleasantly surprised in that regard?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, we had most of new at Cincinnati. He was kind of slow, a sluggish type route runner in practice, but he got in the game. He came in and out of breaks. He blocked really well. He was tough, physical after the catch. He was a lot better in games than he was in practice because of the physicality you could play with in games and not use in practice. So those guys are hard to tell because, you know, everything's, you know, you're touching everybody down in practice. You're not hitting anybody. And when you see somebody run through tackles on game day, you say, damn, it's on the gun's tough. And that's usually the case with running backs and some bigger type receivers.
Mo Sanu had a decent career with you in Cincy, but the first thing I think of when I hear his name is the double pass when he threw a long touchdown in Washington for the Bengals.
Yeah, that was first play of the game. That was a wildcat formation. That was beautiful.
Was that wild? Was it a direct snap to him and he threw it?
Yeah, it was a wildcat. I knew that Jim Hazlitt was a defensive coordinator. He would bring the safety out of the middle of the field when we went wildcat. And I told A.J. Green to just hit your head on the goalpost and Mo throw it as far as he can and hail to the Reds or Bengals on that play. It worked.
Yes, it did.
Like a 70-yard touchdown to open up that game. The opposite of hail to the Redskins on that play. But it might have helped get you your job with the Skins. Maybe Bruce Allen was impressed.
Yeah, we had a good year that year. We were, 11-5 and went to the playoffs, and we were pretty damn good on offense that year. Actually, all 3 years were pretty good, Cincinnati.
Was that Andy Dalton's 30-plus touchdown year, or was that a different year?
No, that was it, probably. Yeah, we scored a lot of points against a bunch of teams.
Points are good. Commanders got 29 of those yesterday. They beat the Giants by 8, 29-21. What do you make of Jalen Lane? 2 punt return touchdowns this year, first time in town since 1994 that anybody's done that. As a receiver, it's been pretty inconsistent up and down, only got the one target, kind of an overthrow in the end zone yesterday. What do you make of him as a fourth-round pick?
I like the fact that he's a very good punt returner because it's a big part of the game, and he'll have a role now as a fifth receiver and a punt returner. That's not a bad role to have. He can come in and spell some of the guys as a fifth receiver, fourth receiver, if they only dress four. He can run, but being a punt returner and having that weapon is very, very good option to have as far as its fourth or fifth receiver. So I like I like what he did this year as a punt returner. As a receiver, he'll get better and better. He just, you know, he's young. You know, he only caught 40 balls at Virginia Tech, so he just got to continue to grow on his route detail, and hopefully he'll get more looks next year.
Speaking of weapons, Jay, what do you make of Deebo Samuel kind of this time of year? Just feels like, you know, he's worn down, doesn't look like he has the same burst that he did earlier in the year, and I guess that was kind of the deal in San Francisco at times. He was always banged up, et cetera. But what have you made of his year, and where are you at on him right now?
Yeah, you know, it's hard for any of the receivers to have any consistency with the change of quarterbacks, you know, that they've had so often. So I put some of that on that reason. But Debo's looked okay to me. He's had a couple drops here and there, but for the most part, he's not the same Debo he was at San Francisco, clearly. But he is pretty effective on the underneath stuff, still can run through tackles and still make big plays after the catch. But he's not really a big-time threat down the field because, he doesn't run as good anymore.
Jay Gruden on the Fan. Jay, you have been in the camp that Jaden Daniels should come back and play over the last couple of weeks when we've asked you about this. So now there's 3 to go. Let's say he is cleared for contact into this week and he can get back on the field on Wednesday and ramp up for the Eagles. Would you start him, and would it matter whether or not Laremy Tunsil is going to play at left tackle as to your decision?
Yeah, I still would start him just because that's the way it should go in the NFL. I don't think you rest people in the regular season. You rest them in the preseason. There's about 20 teams that are not playing for anything right now, and they're all playing their starters. I don't really hear of anybody else. Jackson Dart's playing, and the rest of these guys are going to continue to play. So I would play him, but, you know, I can understand if Tunsil's out and he's not quite 100%, I can understand if they did sit up. But it would be my preference to play him if he's able to play.
Does the Mahomes ACL tear here in December, which might affect all of next year, is that a data point of interest to you at all? Like, I know it doesn't change your mind because you just said what your mind was, but how much does that weigh?
Yeah, I mean, that's scary as hell. Micah Parsons going out too. Yep. You know, these injuries happen. And, you know, there's, you know, I would totally understand if they sat him. You just asked me what I would do, right. And I would play him just because I think he needs the experience. It's against Philadelphia twice. They do have a good pass rush, but it's great competition and a big-time rival. And, you know, you're going to create some great memories by going to Philadelphia and beating Philadelphia on the road and knocking them out, you know. So, but Philly's probably going to be clinched anyway, so it may not matter. So I could go either way right now. I'm back on the fence, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. If he's healthy, I'm playing him this weekend.
Oh, sorry, I should turn on my microphone.
I was going to say, you're talking to nobody.
Yeah, I'm just talking for a while.
Jay, he made the best point ever, but it was to no one.
You'd be stunned how good of a point that was, Jay. That was a 5-yard penalty for not having my microphone on.
Or having the wrong wristband like Shador yesterday. That was good.
Yeah,
that's tough.
What do you think happened with that, by the way?
Just fell out of his wristband. I don't know. One of the play sheet cards fell out. He didn't have one. So, yeah, that's a unique thing I haven't seen before, but I guess it happens.
Before we let you go, on the Jaden playing or not playing thing, so
yeah,
I tend to be with you that I would have him play, but I guess here's the question. If you're a coach and you do play him and something happens, like, I think the reason people shut him down is to not have to deal with that press conference or that moment. Like, what would be your message after that where you would just say, hey, this is football. That kind of thing happens. Or like, what would you say in that situation, if that makes sense?
Well, you'd be sick of it if anybody gets hurt this time of year, especially your franchise quarterback. You know, you don't want Terry McLaurin to blow his knee out either, or Tunsil or anybody else. It's meaningful for the seasons to come in the future. So it's a big deal, you know, but I still think that healthy players should play. And he's a healthy player and he should play. But it would be devastating. It would be a lot of finger pointing at Coach Quinn. Probably he's taken that in consideration, probably won't play him because of that. What if, you know, the risk is maybe too big for the reward in this instance of him playing or not. So I would totally understand if they sat him, but I would like to see him play personally.
Jay, thank you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Be good, brother. There's Jay Gruden, former head coach here in town, on Grant and Danny on the Fan. I want to go around the NFL. It was a bummer yesterday, frankly, watching Commanders Giants for much of the day. It was the single game in the entire NFL slate, the entire weekend, that didn't have any postseason ramifications. There was only one. It was the game we were watching. So I'm going, man, I'd love to be watching. I could name 9 games that I would have liked to have turned on, but we got work to do. We're watching the Commanders and the Giants.
That's when it felt like work, didn't it?
Let's go around the NFL next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. You just heard Toby's breaking news on Jaden Daniels. This is via Ian Rappaport. So I guess right before Dan Quinn's press conference coming up here in a couple minutes, the team leaked to the national media that Jaden Daniels is being shut down by the club. The Commanders have decided to call it a season for Daniels. He was not cleared after being reevaluated today for practice. So they feel like with a short week in a game Saturday against the Eagles, maybe he wouldn't have been ready for that game, or you'd get him back just in time to get back on the field. Then they play Wednesday next week, the Christmas Day game against the Cowboys, which further complicates things. So at 4-10, because it'd be short practice weeks, because you're not sure when he's going to be cleared, they have made the decision to shut Jaden Daniels down. We will not see him again in the 2025 football season.
So it's Thursday is the Christmas Day game, but the point still stands. Yeah, it's short week this week, shorter by a day, and then a semi-short week going into the following one. So again, this is just, I don't know. I don't quite know what they're thinking here, because if it's under the guise of, well, he's not cleared today, that means you're sure he's not going to be cleared Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or anytime next week. Or is this a, we're shutting him down because we're shutting him down? Either way, the result kind of ends in this one spot, right, where they're going, we are just on, it seems, again, I'm reading the tea leaves like everybody else, and we'll see what Dan Quinn says this afternoon. But it's the, we don't think we can get this right. We don't think that he's going to be right. We don't feel comfortable. He's not comfortable. We're shutting it down. I wonder if it's more shut down or if it's legitimately, we just can't see a path to him being healthy enough to do it in time.
Well, I mean, Rap Sheet called it a shutdown.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's his own terminology. I don't know what the difference is, though. You got 3 weeks left, and he's not medically unable to get back in 3 weeks. You don't know that right now. So this is a shutdown, right? I mean, you can't tell me right now definitively there's no way he could play in 3 weeks from now against the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you're ruling him out for the final three games, that's a shutdown. This is very similar. I know people don't like this. Robert Griffin in 2013, coming off of the amazing 2012 season, all in for week one,
yep.
The bad 2013 follow-up year, with three games to go, they shut him down. And at the time, Mike Shanahan said something along the lines of, you know, we need to protect him and he's taking too many hits or whatever. He just wasn't playing at a high level. They didn't like where it was trending. They shut him down. This is not the same as that, obviously. But Jaden Daniels is not cleared for this week. It's a short week next week, which means he'd come back with very little practice time, so they're shutting him down. Now, there are a lot of people in the fan base that wanted this, so we could hear from you next, 800-636-1067. I'd love to hear the reaction to this news that the Commanders are shutting Jaden Daniels down. Dan Quinn's going to talk in just a minute, so we'll listen as soon as he gets to the podium to what he has to say about this. But they will not be risking any further injury. So the good news here, because there's a lot of things about it that I find to be difficult on Daniels as it pertains to starting fast next season. You know, I think he needs the reps and to play and all that stuff. But the really good news is he should be full go, OTAs, mini camp, start of the regular season. Now, how long that lasts, I don't know. Everyone acts like if he's just healthy at the start of next year, all your problems.
It's not automatic.
I don't happen to believe that that's true. I think look at Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert and Kirk Cousins and most of the quarterbacks in the league, Jordan Love, they're all playing through injuries right now. They're all playing through something. So sometime early next year, he'll end up having to play through something. And you can't protect him every time that happens. But in this case, in a lost season at 4-10 with three games left, it's not a terrible idea. You know, we were just talking to Jay Gruden about it. He said he would totally understand it. That's where I'm at. What would I do personally? I would start him and play him. I think he needs to play. Do I have any issue with the team shutting him down? I do not. I don't think it's the right call. I think it's the wrong call. But I think it's the wrong call at like a, you know, 55 play him, 45 don't.
Uh-huh.
It's not like a 90-10 thing.
Yeah, I think we come from a similar spot, just a different conclusion. I think most people would acknowledge it's important for him to play football. Like, that's anybody. It's even Terry McLaurin needed to play football. He's got a ton of deposits in the bank. He's been really, really good. He needed the time on the grass. His year was dramatically affected because he didn't do the normal course of events over the course of the summertime and into training camp and into the preseason, etc. He had a terrible season when they needed him because he wasn't ready to play football, right? I think everybody understands that you benefit from playing. So that's why it's so frustrating when you get this vet day off, that vet day off. Where guys aren't practicing, et cetera.
Let me jump in real quick because Dan Quinn's coming to the podium. I want to catch this right as it starts. This is DQ with Reporters Live.
And the coaches included, man. Take a minute. and enjoy the win. And there's nothing quite like a locker room after that. It had been a while. But today, that's when you get back to it, and that's why we have our Truth Day, what we can do better and what we need to do better, and there's a lot that we need to do better. There was flashes, but that consistency continues to haunt us. There were some big plays. The complimentary football at the end of the half was probably my favorite part of the game. Punt return, stop, interception, like those were ones that I thought were really cool spots. But penalties and turnover margin and other things, we definitely got to improve, and that's a big part of finishing. And, with the division at hand of the games that we're having in the next three, that's a big deal for us, and we're really pumped to go after it again this week. Then the last thing I'd hit you on will be regarding Jaden, and we're going to sit him for the final three games. And I know your first question likely is, well, DQ, what went into that? And the answer is it was a lot, and part medical and part team. As of today, he still wasn't all the way cleared to play. So like last week, wouldn't have all the results until the end of the week, and then a short week next week with the Christmas game. So we believe this decision allows him to take advantage of the next few weeks in a different play. He wants to practice, and he will practice. He also wants to support Marcus in a way that Marcus has demonstrated and helped him. And so, like, I thought that was significant. We all know the best way to grow is during the games, but with that, you know, not being the best way for us, there's plenty of ways for him to learn, you know, over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, he's going to learn from this vantage point too. So I just wanted to give you all the info that I had, and then we can get started recapping the game or however you guys want to proceed. So let's get it rocking.
John Kime.
How disappointing, Dan, is it that it's come to this, given like what you guys have all talked about, the importance of those game snaps?
Yeah, I get it, John. And like, that was the plan for sure with five games, you know. And in football and life, you adjust. And this is the best plan for him and for the team right now. And so that's what, you know, we're always going to look into it and have lots of discussions about it. But we decided this was the best way for us over the next three games, knowing that he wasn't fully cleared to get back just yet.
And then if you can sum up like his season, and also like how much is going, does it weigh in there that he had left each of the last three games he played with some sort of injury? Does that factor into it? And, you know, all that.
Yeah, we discussed all that, but that didn't factor it into it, John. One didn't relate to the other, and so it was disappointing. And like, hey, let's be honest, it's been hard, you know, in a lot of ways. So we're just trying to make the best decisions we can, but it wasn't, a factor from previous. It was just a matter of, hey, not clear to do it, and we're going to make the best decisions for the team and for him. That's a number one.
Nikki?
Dan, when did Jaden get informed of this? When did you guys tell him the decision?
Just this afternoon.
Okay.
So I had a chance to visit with him. Adam did as well. And so it was important. We want to be communicative with all the guys, and especially like their spot, and Marcus as well. And Marcus will do a great job. And I thought for him also being able to prepare and get all the reps in and out, that can be a difficult process to go through as well. So we wanted to give him the best runway to go do his thing as well.
And I know earlier in the season you had said that the reps were important. Was that a matter of circumstance, like in Madrid when there were, what, six games left versus three? Or was it, you know, just looking at the totality of everything that has happened?
Yeah, and it wasn't even going to be three, you know. So thinking it wasn't going to be cleared up for this game and then a short week to go. So then we're like, now we're coming back into less than that. So you're right, Nikki, all of that went into the process to go do it.
Tom?
Hey, Dan. To what extent, if any extent, was Josh involved in this decision?
Yeah. Adam and I obviously, like, you know, keep him in the loop on all the things that are going through it. So it's good. We continue to have dialogue with him. We meet on a regular basis before the games, Fridays, Mondays. So we have a constant dialogue, Tom. So that's helpful that it's not something that we have to go to on a big moment or anything. We just try to stay in a constant level of communication, and that has been really solid for us.
So just to clarify, this was a decision that you guys made and then notified him of, or am I correct on that?
Yeah, I guess that would be correct in the way that you'd say it. We talked and have discussions. I don't know if we notified him, but maybe a discussion's a better way to phrase that.
David Aldridge?
We certainly don't have that kind of juice to notify the owner. Yeah, that's I better clarify that.
Dan, again, knowing that you still have 3 games left to play in the season, this season has been so odd with everything that's gone down with the injuries and everything, but do you have a sense of, here's going forward, how we can maximize both Jaden's potential and his availability? Like, like you have more information now than you did a year ago.
Yes.
And what's different now going forward, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and going in, some of that is going to be by design, him too. And that's why we were hopeful for the reps DA. Right. And we thought, okay, here's a shot to go find those specific things for him. And it's mostly on dropbacks, honestly, DA, to say, when do I remain a passer? When do I eyes downfield? And so not having to do those in the game reps isn't ideal, but we're going to try to find the best way possible. And I'm hopeful that in a year from now, when you say, what'd you learn, you know, when you're talking to Jaden, and maybe this vantage point, even over a couple of weeks, when he's, you know, disappointed he's not playing and wanting to be, that we gain some experience and maybe a vision that you wouldn't have normally had, DA. And that's what I'm hopeful that will get done. And then as it gets into the off season and the training, like, obviously that's going to be a big part of what we're doing, knowing how important he is. And so he knows that. He's not happy that, you know, he's going to be out, but that's where we're at, you know, as we're going through it right now. But there's a lot to still learn, and we're going to push that hard.
It seems like when you think about last year, at least a lot of people seem to think it was just a bunch of incredible plays that he made, but there was a lot of complimentary football going on last season that allowed him to make those plays. And I just wonder, like, how important going forward is that to improve the defense to the point where they're creating more turnovers and getting shorter fields for him and more opportunities for him to make plays on shorter, you know, quicker drives and easier drives and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right. And you may have heard me say it. I remember from last season, I said the best part of our team is the team. It's covering a kick, it's field position, it's creating a takeaway, it's converting a fourth down. And so having the complimentary football to do that, that's a big deal. And when you can nail those, you know, we had more continuity, certainly offensively. We perform better on the fourths. But you're right, man. You create a short field, you get one to go. And so that's why I felt yesterday strongly about the half. It was a fantastic return by Jalen, and then a stop and a pick. And it's like, that's the switch, man. You've seen it. We all have. And that's that momentum change that just takes place in these smallest moments. And I felt that yesterday. I felt that energy. We did enough to let him back in when you have to score lead. But that's what I'm referring to, and that's what you're referring to as well. And so that's capturing the complimentary way that you were describing, and I couldn't agree more.
Pashawn?
DQ, as part of this, you know, obviously, you know, barring injury, Marcus will start, you know, the rest of the season. I know, obviously, he's set to be a free agent, you know, going into the offseason. How important are these last few games for him? You know, kind of as he's
you're listening,
you know,
to Dan Quinn's press conference today out in Ashburn on Grant and Danny. So there's the breaking news: Jaden Daniels being shut down for the final 3 games of the season. Dan Quinn spent weeks talking about the importance of game reps, the importance of getting Daniels back on the field. Last week, something really shifted in how he answered questions, and now today they are shutting Daniels down. More on this and your reactions. 800-636-1067 when we return on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And I know your first question likely is, well, DQ, what went into that? And the answer is it was a lot, and part medical and part team. As of today, he still wasn't all the way cleared to play. So like last week, wouldn't have all the results until the end of the week, and then a short week next week with the Christmas game. So we believe this decision allows him to take advantage of the next few weeks in a different play. He wants to practice, and he will practice. He also wants to support Marcus in a way that Marcus has demonstrated and helped him.
It's official. The Commanders shutting down Jaden Daniels. His sophomore season is over. Having started in 7 games, Marcus Mariota will end up playing in 10, assuming he can stay healthy and finish this thing out. For Washington, the Commanders will have gone 2-5. In those 7 games for Jaden Daniels, his completion percentage going from 69% to 60% on the season. Rating dropping from a little over 100 to a little over 88. QBR from 67 to 45. It was clearly a step backwards, driven mostly by health, mostly by injuries. They just never could get everybody on the same page. They never had weeks of practice together in the offseason, all together in camp. They shut him down all but for 4 plays in the preseason because they didn't need the work and he didn't need the work.
Yeah.
And then in the regular season from week 2 on, he was chasing health. He got hurt against Green Bay. He was out and came back. He comes back and gets hurt against Dallas. He's out. He comes back. Then he comes back and gets hurt against Seattle. He's out and he comes back and eventually gets hurt against Minnesota. All told, in the 14 games prior to this past week that they had played, he had either been injured in or missed entirely 11 of those 14 games. Like, there were 3 games where he played and finished a game with any semblance of health.
Yeah, that's the story, right? Is that. Now, you know, the story of the year is injuries, but the 1A, of course, is the guys that they were counting on who weren't injured, didn't play very well either. And you combine those two things, you get the season that they've had. But to Daniel specifically, it's one of those things where it should not be this way. And we all want the same thing. We want him to play football and play really well. The reality that is what you just said. He has started and completed three games this year. The pattern as it emerged over the second half of the season would be we'd wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks sometimes. We'd do the, is he going to miss the mark? He's going to return to play. He's going to meet all the metrics. And we're going to find our North Star and we're going to hit all the marks, et cetera. He'd play. He'd get injured. He'd have to leave the game. And we'd do the same thing for another month. And at a certain point, it sounds like a conversation happened above Dan Quinn. That's my best working guess right now. I know it's yours too.
Well, my theory that I brought you last week, and I said if he gets shut down, because if you remember, my point was he's going to get shut down on Monday if this theory is correct. They'll come out after the game and say they're shutting him down. I now feel 100% adamant about this. This was not a Dan Quinn call, in my opinion. This was above him. I think this was Peters or Harris or both, probably both, but certainly an Adam Peters call whose job is not just to focus on these 3 weeks, but the 3 years out in front with the rest of this contract. And I believe that this was dictated to Dan Quinn. You could even hear it in his first answer when they're talking about shutting him down. He literally covered his bases and went back and said, you guys know, I think the game reps are the most important reps, but we'll get him some work this way too. He's still telling you that playing football is the best way to make this guy get back to being Jaden Daniels, to get him the reps that he needs. He's acknowledging that even today. But the shift happened last week. We played the clips back to back. We let you hear them from Friday, now 10 days ago, to Wednesday last week. It was like two different people answering the same question. Are you considering shutting him down? Would he benefit from being on the field? The answers were completely different. The tone changed.
Yeah, so
it was
something
obvious.
Happened.
Somebody said to him, hey man, just so you know, he ain't playing again this year.
This feels like an intervention. And again, they're able to hide behind. It sounds like so nefarious. I don't mean it to be. But they're able to use as a barrier to any further questioning. He wasn't cleared medically. You know what I mean? So that's a key point. That's a key moment. Now, cleared medically on Monday usually doesn't mean squat.
Exactly.
It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, this is a shorter week. It's a Saturday game. But come on.
By
everybody
the way,
knows.
If they had a playoff game this past weekend, would he not have played?
I think he would have.
He would have found a way. They would have cleared him medically, I bet you. Mm-hmm. If they had a playoff game this weekend, would he play? Now, they would say he's not cleared medically. He wouldn't be cleared medically for these games if they were playoff games. I'm not sure that I buy that necessarily. Not when you told me he could have gone back into the game.
Right.
Not when he tried to go back into the game on that Sunday. I just don't believe this idea that he can't get medically cleared. But let's just say it's true, that he didn't have a setback, that there is no serious injury, that nothing happened other than some soreness and some swelling, and somehow, 8 days later, he is still unable to be cleared. Okay, let's just say that that's true. To your point, I know you have a Saturday game short week, and it's not looking good, but you wouldn't make the call right now on Wednesday, on Monday, rather.
On Monday,
you wouldn't even make the call on Wednesday or Thursday.
So, but they get to hide behind the, yeah, he's not medically clear for this week, and then it's a short week, so, you know, it's medical.
By the way, if he's medically cleared on Monday, he could play Thursday against Dallas.
And there you go. But they also he also gives away the game to a degree when he says he's going to practice. Now, this, by the way, it sounds like I'm upset about it. This is actually exactly what I would do right now. I would say he still needs the practice reps. I don't care about Mariota getting starter reps. Let Daniels throw to McLaurin, throw to
whoever. He's not getting first team reps.
Well, you know what I mean? Just let him practice. I would practice him more and let Mariota get just enough to stay sharp. But for the most part, I'm letting Daniels get as much work as possible without the game injury risk. But he's going to practice, even though he's not cleared for a contact.
What does that mean, by the way? He's going to go out there and stand there and do some quarterback drills where he does high legs on the little ladder ropes. And then he's going to throw the ball into the net when they record the practice clips.
Yeah, that's the limited part.
That's what he's going to do. Yeah. He's going to be limited in practice. He ain't getting first-team reps over Marcus Mariota, who's preparing for a football game. That's not going to happen.
Not early this week, certainly, but as down the stretch, I'm hoping that he does get some.
That would make no sense. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Perfect sense to me, because I care about him. I don't care about Mariota.
But they don't have a game in August or January or February. I don't see him getting first-team reps. I think they're just saying, we're not shutting him down all purpose where he's not back on a field.
Right, so
he's going to be out there jogging around doing limited practice work.
Yeah, so I would practice him and not play him. I think, and so we're getting to that point.
Which is what they'll do.
Yeah, which is what they're doing, so I like that. But it's sort of, I don't know, there's a degree of the standard issue double talk that we now kind of come used to, where you have to kind of parse it up and look for certain clues to figure out what's really going on. And it kind of screams to what we're both talking about here. We're getting back to it. Is, I think Dan Quinn thinks one thing. I think this has now either been dictated or it's group. They decided this is how they're going to go. And it's not exactly what meets the eye. This isn't totally health. This isn't totally a shutdown. Or like everything's kind of in between. But the end result is he's not playing the rest of the year.
He can say whatever he wants. This is a shutdown.
Yeah.
That's what this is. They are shutting the player down. I don't even think it's him wanting to, but it is happening. Rip anybody, anytime, anywhere off the wall, because it ain't a thing. Anybody, anytime, anywhere, until someone tells you not to. This is a shutdown. That's what is happening right now. There's no such thing as this being a health decision where he's being ruled out of a football game that is still 20 days away or 3 weeks away from right now, with what you're saying, not me, you are saying is a very small setback, a very limited injury, something that will heal fairly quickly. You're basically saying, by the way, that this second injury would cost him more time to recover than the first one when he actually dislocated the elbow. Basically, it'd be that many days away from when he got hurt against Minnesota to play in the final game almost as the original injury with Seattle. So either you're lying about the second injury, which I don't think they are, or someone just told you, hey, man, there's barely any important football to be played here. We're going to evaluate a couple of kids. There's three games to go. Shut the player down. There's nothing to see here. I think that's where we are at this point. We'll check in with one of the members of the Commanders beat. We'll get a national perspective on our Beltway Blitz as well. Huge news here. We'll get to your calls in just a few. Some line them up. 800-636-1067. Jaden Daniels being shut down for the rest of the season by the very Commanders staff that said for weeks that he needed to play to get reps because that was the only way to get him right. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.